Turn to Jeremiah 29, and then look over in Deuteronomy 28. You want to put your finger in there. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Anybody doesn't think, or 28, Deuteronomy 20, did I say Deuteronomy 29? 28, okay. Jeremiah 29, Deuteronomy 28. I thought we were going to go in one direction. We were going to go in another direction. We need to be encouraged tonight. Is that all right? We're encouraged? Because we win. You know, Paul was on the ship going to Miletus, and everyone on the ship thought they were going to die. Everyone. The sailors that were hardened sailors that did that for a living thought they were dead. Much like the disciples when Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping, if you can imagine. The disciples say, "Lord, we perish." Well, they knew they were going to die. They made a mistake. They decided to take out to try to make it through Sosenthus and over that way and went through the Strait of whatever and were headed for disaster. And Paul said everybody needs to stay with the ship. In the middle of the biggest crisis, Paul said, "An angel of the Lord came to me." Think about that. Fear had gripped everybody. They hadn't eaten in days. They were fasting to whatever God they believed in. Not everybody was Christian. They were fasting and say, "Lord, spare my life. God, spare my life. Whatever. Allah, spare my life." Paul was not among the church. He was among people. And they thought they were dying. He said, "An angel of the Lord stood beside me tonight and said that not one would perish. You stay with the ship." I wonder how many were throwing a party when they got to the island of Crete. Can you imagine? And in this day and hour that we're living in, my brothers and sisters, it is the worst time ever to listen to the voices around us. Worst time ever. There's nobody speaking any truth right now. Truth has been lost in some cavalcade of words. It's hard to parse Christian from non-Christian. Unfortunately, it's hard to parse Republican from Democrat and liberal from conservative. I mean, they're all wrong. There's so much confusion right now. Violence is never an answer. Never. And so we have to trust in the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11 draws attention to that fact. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, after telling the nation of Israel that they would, those that have prophesied falsely to you in my name, I've not sent them. In verse 9 says the Lord. In verse 10 he says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completely at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you, cause you to return to this place. For I know." Beautiful words. God says, "For I know." You know, the Lord never uses might. "I might know." "I have an idea," God never says. He says, "I know the plans that I have for you, or the thoughts that I think toward you," says the Lord. "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you a future and a hope." The King James Version says, "I know the plans I have for you." God has a plan for us. He's coming for a victorious bride. I don't know how that's going to happen, but he's coming for a victorious bride. And God's speaking to us all night about his presence. If we stay in his presence, it's going to be okay. The angel of the Lord stood by Paul and said, "It's going to be okay." Now, if you read that passage of scripture in Acts, you know that it was not okay immediately. There was some fear that was still there. They still had to go through the night, the storm. They were lowering the boats and they had to convince each other it was going to be okay. But they all lived. They didn't lose one person. And the body of Christ needs to remind each other and those that are coming, because God is going to bring them by the droves, that it's going to be okay. Not one will be lost. We may die, but we're not going to get lost. You know, we just finished the 7 years ago, the first decade of this millennium. 1 million people died because of the faith. It's 100,000 a year. Wow. Come on, somebody. It's the population of Cleveland. Gone. But you know what? There are a cloud of witnesses now waiting for us. Waiting for us. If you have your Bible tonight, let's turn to Deuteronomy 28. And there are promises in God's Word. It amazes me when I read the Old Testament because we're missing something in this hour that we need to grab onto, that seemingly our brothers and sisters that went before us in the Old Testament had promises that they walked in and lived every day. Can you imagine never being sick, never having clothes worn out, having food prepared for you every day? No laundromats, no 7-Elevens, no Starbucks. God took care of them. And He made some promises to them. He made some awesome promises to them. When we read Deuteronomy 28, we think, man, how? Because Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. Am I right? Is Deuteronomy 28 after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or before? Before. And His presence, if we'll stay in His presence and obey His Word through the worst time of our lives, right? We're entering some very rough seas in this nation. I had occasion to be with some pastors yesterday. We have prayer every other week, and we got to talking about this very subject, and we talked about where we are in history. It's amazing how close the Lord is to coming. Now, many would like to believe it's next Monday. I'll see you next Wednesday for church. Not going to be next Monday. And if it is, I'll be the first one to say I was wrong. I'll see you in the corner of Glory Street and Hallelujah Boulevard and say I was wrong. But otherwise, we'll be here Wednesday. But people are so excited about the return of the Lord, they want things to be wrapped up very quickly. But in the meantime, in the midst of the storm, the angel of the Lord, His very presence, the Holy Ghost, is speaking to you and I and saying that we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We're going to weather the storm. We're going to stand through it. We're going to be even victorious. People are going to come to us and say, whatever you got, I want. Scripture says that they'll hang on us. Scripture says they'll come and hang on us. We want to go home with you. Take care of us. That's a word for the church. And here in Deuteronomy 28, as Moses is penning this, he must have thought, man, God, you must really love these people after having been through the rebellion. But he says this, it's funny because if you look in verse 23 of 27, cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law, cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor, cursed is the one, verse 25, who takes a bribe, cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law, and all the people shall say amen. And then, actually, this is sandwiched between, you know, we're told when we've got to tell somebody bad news. You want to put positive, negative, positive. You want to tell them how good they look, and then you want to tell them you got to pull all their teeth. You know, you're looking good today. I just saw the x-ray. I got to pull all your teeth. But it's going to be fine because you're, you know, positive, negative, positive. How many know in Deuteronomy is negative, positive, negative? Because he's cursed as everyone who does not obey this. And then he goes through the blessings in Deuteronomy 28:15. He goes back into the curses. He says, if you don't listen to me, this is what happens. But those are notwithstanding, those are things that are for rebellious people. That doesn't include you and I. We're not rebellious people. We love God. And if you're anything like me, you're seeking God for an answer. Because any answers that we may have had, that we could get, you know, an idea from somebody on this mud ball that we live on, nobody has an idea what's going to happen. I'm convinced. Everyone that knows what's going on is God, and He's already been there. We sorely need prophets for today. We need prophets that know what they're talking about, not just babbling so they can find a position somewhere. But God says here, in very interesting, He says in verse 1, it shall come to pass if... I don't know about you, but I've met lots of people that don't like that word if. They want all the goodies. You know, give it to me, don't give me an if. if you do this, I'll do that. I mean, no, that's how God deals with us. If you do this, I'll do that. If you don't do this, I'm under no obligation. A lot of people want something. I talked about my grandson wanting shoes. You know, he wants shoes. Pop, go buy me shoes. I'm not buying you shoes. You should have brought your shoes. I couldn't find them, and that's your fault. Enjoy the flip-flops. When you get home, Mom and Dad will buy you shoes if you need shoes. If. So he says, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully, underline carefully, to observe carefully, because we were really fast, we want to get to the good stuff. But let's linger a little bit in verse 1 before we get to all the ice cream and nuts. It shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully, look at these adjectives, diligently and carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Now, I'd like to think that's America. I'm not so sure that that's America right now. But I do know one thing is the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, because we are a nation of people. We are a nation of people without borders. Our brothers and sisters are all over the earth. But we are a nation. The kingdom is a nation. And I will lift you, and I will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all, I love the word all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, you can imagine people in the Old Testament who just had not received what God had, called them to the mountain after 40 years and 400 years of slavery. They got to the mountain. God spoke to them and they said, you know what? We don't want to hear your voice no more. We'll send a representative. Moses is going to come and he'll get the word and come and give it to us. And God comes back with Moses here in Deuteronomy. Moses reminds them that God loves them and he's speaking something to them. And Moses is saying, and he's speaking for the Lord. He said, blessed shall you be. Now, first of all, if you obey, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. It doesn't matter where you're at, God's going to bless us. You know, we talk about, it's almost like a competition. When revival comes, it's going to start in San Francisco and go across from west to east. If you live in San Francisco, you're rejoicing. And somebody says, yeah, when revival comes, it's going to fall in New York City and it's going to go from east to west. We out here in this area, we hear that revival is going to come to South Bend and just go both ways. We're in competition. Where is God going to visit first? Is that as if that's going to give us first place? That's not what God's talking about. He's going to take care of all of His children. The reality is when revival comes, it comes from every direction. 1901, Azusa Street, the Welsh revival was hitting just as hard as Azusa Street, even harder. I've told the story before, but ships were coming in the harbor and people were being saved without anybody preaching to them. They just fell on the ship and fell on the sidewalk and the power of God was everywhere. The blessings of the Lord is for everyone. It will overtake you. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. If we ever need that promise, it's today. For our children and our grandchildren, some look like it's an impossible situation. But let me tell you, God is a God of the impossible. I'm claiming my children and my grandchildren for the Lord God. It may take a storm. It may take the fear of saying, we're not going to survive, and us telling them, if you obey the Lord, you repent and come, you will be spared. God will spare you. We need to personalize God's word, the produce of my body, the produce of my ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. When everybody else is falling apart, God is abundantly blessing us physically, mentally, spiritually, our flocks, our work, our friendships, our community will be blessed by the Lord. Who wants to be around anybody that's caught up in the chaos? Everybody's in chaos right now. this weekend they're planning all kinds of riots in cities because of what one man said, which I believe he made sense. I believe he made a lot of sense, but I'm just one person. But we can't, as a church, we can't, as Christians, talk like the world and expect them to come to Christ. We can't talk about vengeance. We can't talk about violence. We can't talk about those things. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let him take care of vengeance. It's not our job to initiate violence in any shape, way, manner, or form. We're supposed to love. God said, love your enemy. Come on, somebody. We're supposed to love. Even though they're hard to love. Kind of ugly, too, wearing those caps and those gowns and stuff, you know. The pointy caps. You know who I'm talking about. God says to love them. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Wow. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. That covers everything. I'm blessed. We used to sing a song every morning. My wife and I used to sing a song when it was popular. I forget who wrote the song. I think, who's the guy with the rings and the stuff? You work for him. Mike Murdoch, he had this song, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day of my life, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Isn't that a good song? We are blessed. Turn to somebody and say, I'm blessed. Yes, the storm is gone. Yes, we're jettisoning things. Yes, we're forgetting. Yes, we're crying out for revival. Yes, we're burdened and we're concerned. But we are blessed. If God blessed those in the Old Testament, how much more will He bless His children, you and I? I love verse 7. I sing about it. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. Oh. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. That's real stuff right there. You'll notice it does not say that your enemies won't rise against you. The Lord doesn't say the Lord will cause your enemies to never rise against you. Because if He said that and they did, He'd be a liar. We are going to have attacks. That's part of Christian life. We've lived long enough to realize that. What did I do? Well, I must have done something wrong. I'm being attacked. No, more likely you're doing something right. But then we don't get involved. We don't come out of the covering of God. David says, you're a shield and a buckler and a high tower for me. I run into you and hide. That's where we need. We need to be in the pavilion of God when the enemy attacks. I will. Look at what he says. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. The enemy may attack, but he's defeated in Jesus' name. Wow. That's a promise. Can you believe this is in the Old Testament? For Pete's sakes. These guys and gals died without ever seeing the promise. They never got to see the Messiah. They never got filled with the Holy Ghost. They never got the presence of the Lord like we're feeling tonight when we're singing. And they never understood that. They never knew that. As a matter of fact, they wanted to get away from the presence of God. And God said, because I love you, when your enemies rise against you, they'll flee before you in front of your face. They'll come in one way and flee seven ways. Watch what it says. They'll come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Where'd he go? There he goes. It does not say there won't be storms. It does not say there won't be enemies. It does not say there won't be conflicts. It does not say there won't be fights. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Trust me when I tell you that. In this nation, it's going to get bad. But we have to stand on God's promises. It's absolutely imperative. Eternity is begging for us to get a hold of this truth. Because it's about the lost. It's about those that aren't here yet. It's about those that are trying to put lifeboats over the ship and trying to survive and get away and trust somebody else and trust something else. I never thought I'd see a nation that is just revamping history. We're getting rid of everything. George Orwell's 1984, he's a prophet. It's coming to pass. Men of valor and integrity like George Washington, Tom Jefferson, Robert E. Lee, men that gave their lives for the country. I never thought we'd be in such confusion. Well, here we are. You can't even carry a civil conversation on him. You can't do it. That's the enemy coming against us. And we're seeing him flinch. The enemy's flinching. He is. Because he knows he comes against us one way. You don't think he knows the word? He knows the word. He's waiting for a generation of Christians to stand on that word. The Lord, verse 8. We say the Lord. Say the Lord will command the blessing on you. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. I'm ready for that. He'll command the blessing on you in your storehouses and all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord God is giving you. Everybody say, this is my land. God's blessing my land. He's blessing my temple. He's blessing my land. And if I'm blessed, and my wife is blessed, and you're blessed, and people want that blessing. People want that blessing. If we're complaining, if we're going, oh, I don't believe this, oh, look at everything that's happened. We're complaining like everybody else. Nobody wants to hear that. Just because Facebook says it doesn't mean it's true. But when you read it in the book, it's true. This promise is for us. This promise is for us. Keep your finger there and turn over to John. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Stay on. I'm tired of you blinking in my eyes. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And then he says in verse 12, he says this, most assuredly, the King James says, verily, it's a strong word, meaning you can take my word for it. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask, I just lost half the people in here. Whatever you ask, say whatever. Whatever I ask will be done for me, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I will. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 9 of Deuteronomy 28 says, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Right now, the world's not afraid of nothing we got. When we speak the word of God, the fear of God's on this earth. Amen? They need to know that it's not a game. We're not doing this so we could take up our time. We're doing this because we're part of a kingdom and God's promises are for you and I. Don't you ever think for a minute that it's for everybody else but you. It's for you, my friend. You need to walk in victory. We need to change. We need to flip the pillow over. You know, in the middle of the night when you wake up, you flip the pillow over and it's nice and cool. You need to flip the pillow over, man. We need to understand God's in control. He's not one iota. He's not missed a step. He's not behind even an inch. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. Now what's that? The name of the Lord, there's over 100 names of the Lord. He's my provider. He's my healer. He's my king. He gives me all wisdom. He's the God of the breakthrough. He's a banner over me. He's the bright morning star. He's the first raised from the dead, firstborn from the dead. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain in your land and its season. Anytime you see rain in the Word of God, it's the Holy. You can underline that, put the Holy Ghost. The Lord wants to rain the Holy Spirit on us again. And watch what it says. To give the rain to your land in its season. If we'll understand that there are seasons in God, listen very carefully. If we'll understand that there are seasons in God, it'll go a long way for our patience and our love for Him. Asking things like, God, you're late. God, where have you been? I mean, why don't you? God knows the exact time. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son. Perfect timing. And He hasn't missed anything. He hasn't got old and forgetful. He is perfect timing in your life. And if He's going to do it in the church, and He did it in the Old Testament, and He did it right now, He's doing it right now, and He's holding the church, how much more will He take care of you? He invested His life in you. How much more will He take care of you and see that you succeed? He'll open the good treasure of the heavens to give you and your land, my body, my land, my house, in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Now that's more than money. We have the answer. Somebody said the other day to me, you have a answer. I said, no, I have the answer. I'm sorry. You may think I have a answer. You might have a answer, but I have the answer. And if your answer is like mine, we can get together. Otherwise, I'm not coming off the answer. Come on, somebody. Don't be afraid to speak the word of the Lord. Especially in this hour, we need to be pristine. We need to be so far away from anything the world has. I'm telling you, stay away from things. Don't give money to people that are not serving God, that are especially, and I want to delineate because, again, I said on Sunday, somebody said, we need to, do we treat people bad or do we treat people good? No. The people that don't know Christ, the prodigals and those that are away from Christ, we need to love on them. They need to know the love of God. But Christians who know the truth and have turned their back and gone the other way and compromised, we don't want to be mean to them. We don't want to have them with fellowship either. We're not going to have fellowship with them. We can't walk with them. If you believe you can kill babies and live with whoever you want to, I'm afraid there's a fork in the road. Whenever you see a fork in the road, take it. Just don't follow me unless you're going to repent. Come on, somebody. We don't do enough of that. We say, well, as long as people are in church. No, that doesn't make a difference. It's who you serve. But it says, the Lord will open to you His good treasure. And when you think about that, you think about the treasure of heaven and all that God has. There's nothing He's needed. There's nothing that's lacking in heaven. There's nothing that they're waiting for. There's no supplies that they need. He'll open to us. And how much more you and I who have access to heaven at all times. We don't really realize that. The other day I'm praying, I said, you know, I had this, you know, I'm in the midst of trying to get rid of my blessing. I'm getting rid of my blessing. My truck. I'm getting rid of my blessing. It's my blessing. Yay. Come on, somebody say blessing. I'm getting rid of my blessing. God, how am I going to do this? And, you know, I'm praying about this. I'm praying about that. And, you know, call this and put this in it. He said, just ask me and trust me. I'll take care of it. Why? Because He's concerned. He's concerned with what has to do with us. And if we put Him second or third or fourth on the list, that's the priorities that He sees our heart at. We've put Him on first on the list. If you ask me, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it that the Father might be glorified in the Son. Not waiting until you get to the... And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Anybody that has a cat says, thank you, Jesus. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only. Say only. You can't be above and below at the same time. You're either above or you're beneath. My Bible says, you shall be above only and not be beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. There's that word. Look at careful, underline it, and then look over in verse 1. Carefully, careful to observe them, carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Every decision we make as Christians, God is watching. He's the God of certain decisions, and He's not of others. He said if you turn to the left or to the right, there's going to be a God there, and it ain't going to be me. Amen? Psalm 91. This is stuff you already know. I'm just trying to encourage you. Is that okay? I encourage you. I appreciate you coming and spending time with me. And I want to encourage you today. I want you to go home with a smile and a lilt in your step. Because no matter how bad it gets, it's going to get gooder. Turn to somebody and say, it's going to get gooder. It's going to get good. I mean, God's going to take care of us. Hope of all hopes. I got to trust Him. When in the past has God ever let you down? Somebody tell me if God's ever let you down. Be honest. When's God ever let you down? How many like me has had to repent because God came through after you said you let me down? Come on, someone. Psalm 91. He who visits in the secret place of the Most High, what's it say? Dwells. What's dwell mean? Stay. Live. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Abide means to stay. Under the shadow of the Almighty, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. How does Deuteronomy 15 work? Deuteronomy 28. How does Deuteronomy 28 work? Abiding. That's exactly right. It works if we abide. Don't treat God's word like a New Year's resolution. You know, New Year's resolution you say on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, you say, I'm going to change my eating habits. I'm going to change what I do. I'm going to change this. And if you make it to the fifth, you're doing okay. Because it's not working. Now, how many know you got to wait for a while? I had a deal. I told the story. I had a deal with my trainer. I was doing marriage counseling for my trainer and his fiance, and I was going to marry them. And for that, he trained me. So it didn't cost me any money. It's a lot of sweat and tears. So he came up with this program. And he gave it to me, and he said, here's what you're doing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you can have Sunday off. You know, I was a preacher, so Sunday off. And he says, this is the plan, and this is what you can do, but I don't think you can do it. I said, excuse me? He said, I don't think you can do it. You're too out of shape. You're 50 years old. You can't do it. I looked at him. I said, you watch me. I'll do it in half the time. I was in the gym at 3:30 in the morning every day, one night, 5 days a week. Saturday it was a little bit later because I didn't open till later, but 3:30 in the morning, and halfway through the program, I was at my goal weight. We have to stay the course, my friend. Stay the course. Wait it out. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen. When you trust the Lord, you've got to abide in His, the abiding presence of God. For the joy set before Him, Christ endured the cross. He couldn't have been any more obedient, but He still had to have the cross. Just a moment of time, He looked at the Father in prayer and He said, Father, if it be possible, pass this cup from me. But he realized, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Just abide in the presence of the Lord. Blessed will you be when you go in. Blessed will you be when you come out. He was talking to people that had, that all they knew for 400 years was slavery. And just have funerals, 2,000 funerals a day for 40 years in the wilderness. Blessed will you be when you're in the city, and blessed will you be in the country. Well, I don't feel so blessed. I just buried mom, dad, uncle. Hang in there. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Now you'll notice, now let me preach just for a minute, because we get this place where we say God is going to put us in this bubble and take care of us and we'll never have to face things. Yes, you will. He didn't say there wouldn't be a fowler and there wouldn't be a perilous pestilence. He said, I'll deliver you from them. People don't like to hear that. Don't preach that stuff to me, preacher. I don't have to. My Bible says, I'll deliver you from that action. Man, deliverance is sweet when we win. Deliverance is sweet when we come out from under something. How many have ever been in really sick and somebody prays for your heal? Just you feel like you're 3 pounds just floating through the air. Deliverance of God is wonderful, but we have to hang in there, especially in this hour. There are so many Christians that are being despondent and say, it's not working, it's not. Let me tell you, it works. He shall cover you with His feathers. Anybody that's did any study on duck feathers and feathers, when He covers the eagle's feathers, they're weatherproof. They don't get wet. He'll cover you. The precipitation of the enemy is not going to, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. We're resting in Christ. We're waiting on Him, abiding in Him. If we want to walk in Deuteronomy 28, if we want to walk in John chapter 14, if we want to walk in Ephesians 1, if we want to walk in Acts chapter 2, we've got to abide. We've got to understand the attacks will come. God is going to deliver us. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Will there be terror by night? You betcha there will be. That's not speaking negative. The enemy is just going to, the terror by night, you shall not be afraid of it, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Any time of the day the enemy can attack, but he doesn't win. We trust Him. We trust the Lord. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. It seems like there's just people by the droves leaving the church, just leaving common sense, leaving the Word of God. Let them go. Pray for them that they come, but let them, don't get caught up in that doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief is like ice, black ice on a step. That's what doubt and unbelief is. It's like something that sneaks up on you, but anybody know what black ice is on the road when you can't see it and you just hit it and you start to spin? That's what doubt and unbelief is like. It's black ice. We get caught up into it, it makes sense. But this is never going to happen. This isn't going to happen. Don't get caught up in doubt and unbelief. It's the enemy to our souls. Matter of fact, it's so serious that Paul says if you're in doubt and unbelief, you won't receive anything. You're being tossed and towed to and fro. If you don't believe what God says and you just keep going back and forth, you're going to be tossed to and fro and you'll not receive anything from the Lord. You're on your own. You say, well, God, how can you do that? He says, because this is the way I laid it out. I already told you 1,000 times. I told you I'm going to bless you. You'll be blessed coming in and going out. Trust in me. Take your refuge in me. Why is the Word of God here if we won't walk in that? That's victory, man. Come on. Somebody say amen. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 by my right hand. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. That's for today right there. Because you have made the Lord who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, underline dwelling, dwell, abide, refuge, fortress, trust. All those words mean longevity. Just wait. Because you have made the Lord who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Please underline that. No evil. Say no evil. Take the next hour and preach on that. We expect bad things. and God says it won't come. If you expect bad things, usually bad things are happening. Well, we need to make second nature when bad things happen. You say, I know what this is about. I'm going to be delivered because God said it won't befall me. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Somebody said there's an angel everywhere. Yeah, there's an angel following you everywhere. Plus the Holy Ghost within you, plus Jesus making intercession at the throne. He's got it covered. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. Lion and cobra, the enemy, demons, the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. These are very, very well-known scriptures, Deuteronomy 28, Jeremiah 29, 11. But these are the foundation of our faith. The foundation of our faith. Christ makes promises again and again. God makes promises. Even in the old covenant, he made promises. And those promises are for us. We need to leave elementary school and grab the promises, see? These are elementary things. Watch. Watch what it says. We're going to close here. I'm going to take some questions. Watch what this says. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Say deliver. Now, if you're going to deliver me, it means I got myself in a mess. Or I stepped in a mess, or I... Come on, someone. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Watch what this says. This is beautiful. I will be with him in trouble. It doesn't say there will be no trouble. We get discouraged because we say, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't have any trouble. Think again. Well, God's pretty clear. Yeah, you don't have trouble, but God's going to be with you through the trouble. Iron sharpens iron. That's why so many people, listen to me, we've got to be very careful as the prodigal comes back. Because the prodigal is going to come back not looking like a Christian. When the son came back to the father, he didn't look like the son. He had been working with pigs. All he had was the clothes on his back and they were worn out. He did not look like the family member he should have been. But what did the father do as soon as he saw him? He made him look like a family member. Went and took the robe, got the ring, the things on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Yea, my son's alive. He was dead, but now is he alive. I received him. The prodigal's going to come back and they're not going to look like Christians. They're not going to talk like Christians. They're not going to look like us. It's our job to put the robe on them. Christ forgive them and clean them up and we've got to accept them. They may have something sticking out of here and tats over here and things there and the 16 different hair colors. God loves them. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, how does God honor people? Somebody, come on. How does God honor someone? Make them famous? How? He honors them, gives them more responsibility. Wow, that's interesting. How does God honor someone? Giving him his presence. How does God, come on, how does God honor someone? I mean, we're all blessed. Say, I'm blessed. And now, how does he honor me? Presence. Pardon me? Yeah, he loves everyone he's saying. How does he honor? I will honor him. Yeah. Seats us in heavenly places. Yes, yeah. Ha ha. I just put a bug in your ear for a minute. Ha ha ha. If I can find it, Lord help me. Lord, help me. Someone else, how's he honor? Pardon me? Somebody help me. Where's the scripture that says his train fills the temple? What scripture is that? Isaiah, no, but what? Isaiah what? Isaiah 6. Let's turn there quickly. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. I was thinking 60. I was a little ahead of myself. Isaiah 6. I just want to say, how does God honor us? Watch what Isaiah does. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. That'll preach right there. Something's got to die to hear the Lord and see the Lord. The year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. Blah, blah, blah. And the posts of the door, verse 4, were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. The voice was filled with smoke. Woe to me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. One of the seraphim flew in verse 6 to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Did you say that's honor? What's the very next thing he did? Say it. And I heard the voice of the Lord. When God honors you, you hear his voice. You don't hear about his voice. You don't read the word and say, well, this is the voice. God speaks to your spirit. Oh, I don't believe, or speaks to your spirit. When he honors you, you hear it. It's the most honorable thing to hear the voice of God. It's a holy thing to hear God's voice. I'll share it with everybody now. Now I'll take you. Because I was sleeping the other day. I just shared with a few people because I wasn't too sure. I thought maybe God was telling me to go home. You know, go home, die. I'm laying on the couch. I'm tired. I've driven all night. I was laying on the couch and I woke up. You know how that place between awake and asleep, where you just kind of, you don't know where you're at and stuff. You're trying to get focused. And I heard the Lord say, prepare the cabin for departure. How many have ever been on a plane? The last thing the pilot says before they get going to the stewardesses, he says, prepare the cabin for departure. And then stewardesses come back and they make sure you're buckled in. The overhead compartments and the seat tables are upright and the seats are upright. And if you're not, they say, put your table upright. Make sure your phone's on airplane mode and all that stuff. They're preparing the cabin for what? The departure is going somewhere, right? There's a destination. So when he said that, I sat with my wife, sat across the table with her, and we got tearful. I said, hey, maybe God's telling me I'm going home. Come on, somebody. That's serious stuff when you hear a word like that. But he honored me because he's continually telling me that revival's coming and to prepare her for revival. And just the way my father is with me, he's got to say it about 10 different ways, the same thing. So I'll just say it'll build my confidence because I, you know, sometimes I get doubtful and the black ice hits me. And it's, God, did I hear you correctly? I just spent some time with Ken Meixel today talking about that very thing. Where are we almost 5 years into this thing that God sent me and Terry here for? And God says, prepare the cabin. All this time we've been going in and we're buckling up and now it's time to take off. Amen? Honoring is hearing the voice of the Lord. Honoring is hearing the voice of the Lord. How many have heard his voice lately? Talk to me, preach to me. What's God saying to you? Everybody hear what she said? Honoring God. Less of us, more of him. Listening to him. What's God saying to you? All hearts clear? My title of my message tonight was End Times. Signs of the Times. It's talking about the 10 different things that point to the return of Christ. So, maybe someday. We're God's favored. Say, I'm blessed and highly favored. God's got you in mind. Father, I thank you for the blessings that you have for us, God. I thank you, God, that you planned long ago for these days. God, before time began, you knew this day would be here and you've provided for us. You placed us. You've poured your love upon us. You shed your blood for us. Sent your Holy Spirit to us. God, Lord, if we've fallen in short in any way, God, if we have any doubt and unbelief, we lay it before your feet right now. God, we're going to walk in truthfulness. We're going to walk in faith, Father. We're going to walk in your revealed truth to us, your revelation to us. God, we thank you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I'm so encouraged when I see them, God. We've hung in there through. I've seen some people go through some tough times. And they're standing, they're worshiping, and they're honoring you. Father, I continue to pray with them that all the promises in your word would be yes and amen in their lives. Father, we We grab that. We seize the moment. Lord, we promise that we'll abide in you. We'll dwell with you. We'll abide in you. And we'll walk with you. We thank you for that. Lord, I ask blessings upon each and every one, everything they touch, in Jesus' name. Amen.